Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
TV, my name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic, and I am here with somebody who everybody knows in the magic community. He is responsible for more high-tech, wonderful creations than anybody else I know. His products are used by the biggest names all around the world, and there's always a buzz when this gentleman releases something new, because you know it's going to be clever, you know it's going to be unique, you know it's going to be different. I am, of course, talking about the one and only Joel Miranda. How are you, my friend? Are you okay?
Hi, Craig. Thanks so much. I'm great. Thanks so much for inviting me. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much for being here. I know that you and your team, and we'll get to this later on, but I know that you and your team are constantly busy coming up with some more weird and wonderful ideas. So the fact that you've managed to find a few minutes to hang out with me online, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And congratulations as well on the last two releases. The Intuition, the... I reviewed that, gave an amazing review. I think it's brilliant. I've been using it nonstop. And Gravity is the one device that has got me, and I've hated levitations my entire life. This is the one thing that's got me actually doing levitations in a close-up environment. So again, thank you for those. Brilliant creations. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, work very hard. So yeah, I'm glad that you enjoy them. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You know what? I was speaking to Peter Nardi about you recently, and he had lots of really wonderful things to say about you. And one thing that he said, I don't know if you're a fan of James Bond. I don't know if you watched the James Bond films. Him and I both said that you're a little bit like Q from James Bond, in that you're not the guy at the front. You're not the guy that's like, hi, I'm Bond, I'm James. You're not that guy. You're the guy behind the scenes that's making the ridiculously cool gadgets that the people on the front line are then taking and making themselves look good. And you are like Q. You really are. Like, the stuff that you come up with, it's just like, I have no idea how your brain works in that direction. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much. Yes, sometimes the ideas come to my head like it's like a lightning bolt. You know, I can... Sometimes I'm seeing a movie and watching music, or go to the cinema, and some crazy idea pops into my head. But I must also say that I'm only the visible face of a wonderful team of six people, me and six people that work full time with me. So they are really also helped me creating this stuff, because I have, honestly, this is a cliche, the dream team, but for me, it's my really dream team, you know. They are very, very good at what they do. And we work like a normal company, you know. We go wake up very early, and we are there from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday. And even after that, my brain does not stop during the weekend, you know. So I release books, perhaps sometimes Tiago, my engineer, with some crazy idea and method that I have. So yeah, so it's a lot of hours every day and every month. Yeah, that's why we also work a lot, and we do some great stuff.
Yeah. And I think people need to understand that, you know, when you release something, when a trick comes out through your production company that you and your team have worked on, there is going to have been a lot of research and development before they see that final product. Like, you know, when I create a trick, I'm like, right, let me grab some roughing fluid, a pack of cards and some double-sided tape. Right, I've got a trick. Now I need to work it in the real world. While you're creating electronics, you're creating circuit boards. I can't imagine how many like prototypes you have to get through before you get to that final product. The stuff that you're putting together is an entirely different league to the probably 99% of creators in the magic community.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, we really work a lot. Like, for example, we have 10 3D printers, you know, they work day and night. The machines don't stop with prototypes. And sometimes we need to tweak everything. And sometimes we need to make molds and then we go to an external company. But I have a lot of companies that work not full time for me, but I'm one of their main customers, you know. And yeah, making all that boards and all that tests really take a really long time. People don't know, perhaps. That's why sometimes I'm upset. Someone says, oh, Intuition, for example, costs $200. It's very expensive. But the amount that we have, you know, and working with so many people full time, you know, it's we work like crazy. But the thing is that we love what we do, you know. And something that it's kind of my mindset. I'll give you one small example. My invention, the smoke watch, you know, which was, I believe, the first production from the hands with the magician's sleeves rolled up, you know. I once said to a friend of mine, even though the smoke watch didn't exist, I put that idea into my mind of creating a smoke watch. I mean, two things will happen. Or I will create a smoke watch, or I will die trying, you know. I mean, if I had to go to China for 3 months to talk with 20 different manufacturers, I'll go to China. I mean, once I place something in my head, I simply have to do it. You know, it's not about the money. It's something that once I place something in my head, it's going to happen sooner or later, you know? And I had this kind of attitude in all my life. Even I used to do a lot of magic shows. I had TV shows in Portugal. I wrote magic books. And I think it's important to have this kind of entrepreneurial mindset. Magicians that you see, for example, David Copperfield, is one of the persons that I really love speaking to. Because he's so passionate about what he does. And I invented something for him. It's a grand illusion. I cannot say what it is. That took me over 2 years to build for him. And the way he thinks, it's so different from a lot of magicians. Because even though it's David Copperfield, you know, the biggest name in magic ever, he still works a lot. Sometimes, so you have an idea, David calls me like 4 a.m. in the morning to speak about some detail that he thought or an email that I sent to him. And this kind of attitude towards life and magic, I think it's very important to achieve something in life. Don't you agree?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And you can tell the fact that you've got a team of 6 or 7 people, the fact that this is not a small operation. You can see that you are very entrepreneurial minded and you seem to have that kind of... never give up attitude. Has there ever been something that you had an idea for and you've given up on it and you've gone, you know what, it was an amazing idea, it's not going to work? Or have you managed to see every idea through to a successful conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes some ideas are more crazy than others, you know. But I know where technology can take me. And some crazy idea might not happen because the technology does not exist. But even though sometimes in my company, we create that technology. It happened actually with the smoke watch precisely because we had to create a very small fan, didn't exist, and we could not make it by mold. So it was extremely hard to achieve that. But sometimes when I cannot do it, it stays in my little notebook. And perhaps 2 years later, it already happened. For example, with the prison deck. I don't know if you know prison deck, which is the one where the cards cannot come out from the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I had like 4 methods for that. And the final method, I was in vacations. I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning and the method popped into my head. I started writing in vacations everything, you know. And it took a long time. So yeah, perhaps sometimes we give up in the short time, but later perhaps you can take that idea and make it a reality. You know, it really depends. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now I want to talk to you more about the production side of things. And I want to talk to you about some of your well-known tricks. But before I do, every time people think of you, they think of your wonderful inventions, but nobody ever kind of knows the man behind the smoke watch or the man behind the gravity or whatever it may be. So let's find out a little bit more about you very quickly. What was your origin story? When did you first get into magic? When did the bug bite? Because obviously You're from Portugal, I believe. So when did you kind of get into magic? When did all that happen?
It happened when I was about 4 or 5 years old. It's a cliche, but it's the truth. My dad had a magic set. It's a cliche, but it's the truth. And believe it or not, since he showed me magic for the first time and I saw magic for the first time, I mean, I was so obsessed with it and I could not stop learning. A few years later, when I was about 9 years old, and between my 5 years old and my 9 or 10, I always did a lot of family shows for my family and friends, you know, and I put some black gloves and... but when I was 9, a friend of my father, he was a magician, and gave him around 100 VHS tapes, you know, full of magic. They are not only explanations, it were more performances of several TV shows, Copperfield, Paul Daniels, Luis de Matos, a lot of that. And I watched those 100 tapes like 50 times each tape. I mean, I was in my vacations at home 3 months from... since the moment I woke up until I went to bed, I watched all of that VHS tapes. I was always obsessed by magic, you know. Some my friends went to go to football and play a lot of sports, but I was only magic, you know. It's something that after that I went to a magic club here in Porto, which is called the Clube Ilusionista Fenianos. And then I was invited to several festivals in Portugal. And then I had a TV show in a small channel, a Portuguese channel. I wrote 2 magic books, which were sold like crazy here in Portugal, both in Portuguese. And yeah, then I started creating magic. But all my time since I was probably 14 until I was 28, I performed professionally. I mean, even though I have a degree in international commerce, I did hundreds of weddings, hundreds of corporate shows, you know, I did hundreds of. That's why I know what a magician might need during a performance, you know? Because you see some of the creations that some magicians release, and some of them didn't really went into the field, you know, with weddings and where everything needs to be practical. You cannot take like 10 minutes to set up a trick. You need to move to another table. And I know all of that stuff. That's why some of my magic is really directed to wedding magicians, corporate magicians. I mean, basically professional magicians, you know? Yeah, it's a little bit about me. So basically I breathe magic, you know, it's everything I think about is magic. Yeah.
Here's a question. Obviously, at 28, you started creating your own magic, and eventually, and we'll talk about this, but it got so successful that I imagine you stopped performing professionally and just focused on the creation side of things. Yeah. Now, as somebody who's performed hundreds of corporate shows and hundreds of family shows and hundreds of weddings and also had your own TV show, which is incredible. I didn't know that. Was it difficult to go, I'm turning my back on that? I create magic, not to the level that you do, but I create magic, but I could never as a performer kind of go, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to focus on this side of things. That's just something I personally couldn't do. Did you find it difficult?
Yeah, it was something natural in me. I'll explain you why. I had the idea, you know, with another partner, which was Gonzalo, for the Lynx Blackboard. I don't know if you know about it.
Yes, that is the first thing that put you on my radar as a creator. It was the one that Izzy Simpson ended up using in Britain's Got Talent, wasn't it? Is that right?
Exactly. Yes. And we sold hundreds of boards so far, which is still very successful nowadays. And I have several variations with the easel, etc. But basically, you know, the idea that I had to create the blackboard, it took us like 2 years to make one prototype, you know? Mm-hmm. And once, as I mentioned before, I was crazy. I mean, I had to create this and I didn't stop working on it until I had a working prototype that really worked, you know? And since then, it was magicians asking me for stuff. And some, like 2 years later, Copperfield called me and asked me for some custom things that he currently using in his own show. And since then, I started with one people, which is Tiago, which is one of my main engineers. It's a wonderful person. And then Paulo joined the team, Bruno, Ana, Miguel, Artur. And I start adding more people and more people. And we changed office 3 times in the last 4 years because we are growing and you need more space. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. So it was something natural. Sometimes I still have, when I have invitations, if I can, I go because I love to perform, you know. It's something that I really love. So, but this consumes my time totally because we have more products each time and we currently sell for over 80 countries worldwide, which is really crazy. And we are creating so many new things that magicians have never seen before. So we couldn't stop. And honestly, I love doing this. You know, there are so many better magicians than me performing with their personality and their showmanship that I think I'm better at building these things with my team, you know, and really makes me happy. So yeah, now there is no other way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the question for you. You have partnered up outside of, you know, since going off on your own, you've partnered up with some huge names. Obviously, with Intuition, you know, you took Peter Nardi and Moz's Cobra Sharpie. But obviously, you had the Metal Phone where you partnered up with Kayla Morelli, and who is a massive name. And you had the version of Martin Lewis's Sketchpad, which, you know, that I bought from you directly. It's amazing. It's in my cabaret show. So you've partnered up with a lot of big names on various different projects. Is there a particular person that you would like to partner up with on a release that you haven't actually done so yet? Have you got kind of a bucket list of this, you know, this person here, I'd like to work with this person? Because you see, you know, that's what I like about you. You seem to pick the best person to be a part of a project. Mm-hmm. Like when Gravity came out, I mean, who else are you going to have on a project about Invisible Thread than Tom Wright, right? Because he is the man when it comes to Invisible Thread. Is that, I suppose, two questions. One, is there somebody who you haven't worked with yet you'd like to? And two, has that always been a conscious thought of yours, right? I need to get somebody in on this with me to help me, not so much with the research and development, but help you with the overall product or the routines or whatever it may be.
Yeah, honestly, regarding the first question, right now at this very point, I don't remember someone that I would like to partner with because things happen naturally. I mean, I don't wake up and I say, I'm going to create this with Kelly Morelli, I'm going to call Tom Wright, I'm going to call Martin Lewis to the Cardiographic. I will explain you grab on those three examples and explain you how they happen. So basically, the first one is Martin Lewis. I always loved David Copperfield performing Cardiographic, you know, since I was very young. I loved it. And there was not in the market a large sketchpad version, you know? And now I know exactly that David Copperfield method does not work with electronics because David explained me how it worked. But I decided there must be an electronic version. Then I called Martin Lewis and he knew my work and he decided to give me the full exclusivity to produce that giant pad. With Kellen Morelli approached me in Magic Life. So with his prototype of the Metal Phone, nobody before me has ever heard about it. And I said, Kellen, that's a beautiful idea. It's a great design, but won't be much better if you can really drop it on the table. And if people can really examine it 100%, it will be crazy. And then 2 weeks later, I designed the mechanism. I spoke with part of my team who designed it. And it took like 1 year to make it happen. And then there was the joint venture. With Gravity, I simply basically watched a lecture, a Penguin lecture of Tom Wright, you know, and I thought this guy is amazing with Invisible Thread. I mean, he does the Down to Deck so beautifully and other effects as well. And then I saw that he had several products already in the market using Invisible Thread. And then I had a Skype talk with him and I really understood that he was a master in this field. So he was the best person to create some effects with my idea, with the concept of the product that I wanted to create. So basically, everything happened very naturally. You know, it's something really natural. It's not, oh, let's call this or let's call that one or that one. With me, it does not work like that. I don't know if I explain more or less.
No, you do, yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's kind of like, if it happens, it happens, right? If it happens, if there's, you know, exactly. Totally get that. On that subject, can you give some advice to the people watching this interview on create, not so much the creative process, because your creative process is so different to anyone else's, but just how to get that initial spark of inspiration. Because you talked, you know, I know that a lot of the ideas that you've had, you've kind of imagined it and envisaged it and then made it. And then you've got something like Metal Phone, where Kaylin came to you and you improved on it. So how do you come up with your ideas? How do you get that inspiration?
That's the hardest question, because I really don't have like, I mean, I don't sit like on the table with a white piece of paper and let's invent some magic, you know? It does not work like that. For example, Timeless, which is an object that goes into the watch. Oh, you were inspired by actually Tommy Wonder. I didn't even use Tommy Wonder version when I created that. It was just because a friend of mine told me, oh, what if we had a lemon inside the box and the bill goes in there? And then I thought, no, a lemon does not make sense. Perhaps a watch does. Okay, it's a gift. And then everything starting, and then designing the whole mechanism into this, you know? So I get inspiration from watching a lot of magic. I really think that magicians, in order to create these kind of things, they should see a lot of cinema, read a lot of magic. Ariel Dunne was the founder of modern magic for me. It's crazy what he did with his automatons. And I think that magicians should basically watch a lot of magic and learn. Nowadays, I think one of the main problems with the younger generation is that they go to YouTube and watch this and watch that. I think that the roots are very important. The ancient times, the magicians from 100 years on 150 years, where most of magic that nowadays is created was created 150 years ago, you know? So I think basically to study a lot and see a lot of magic and live shows as well. Go see David Blaine, go see David Copperfield, Javier Martinez, go see the most magic shows to get really inspired. I think that's basically it. I wish I had like a magic formula, you know, but unfortunately I don't have. So, yeah.
Well, that's a really good answer. And on that subject, let me ask you another question. Do you ever... I don't want to say worry because that's not the right word, but are you ever concerned? Like you've just brought out, for example, Gravity, and the reviews are incredible and it's so popular. And then you bring out Intuition and everybody's bought it and it's not going to be available again for like 2 years. And it's like super success commercially and critically. A lot of your stuff is a success. Do you ever worry that where's that next idea going to come from, or is my next idea going to be as well received, or is it going to be as big? Because the magic community is very fickle, you know this as well as me, and they can very, very easily lift you up or drop you down in a heartbeat. Do you worry, I mean, with all the success you've achieved and with your huge team, do you ever worry that where's your next idea going to come from?
Yeah, in fact I have like 12 ideas, original ideas, like in my notebook, which is we have worked like for 5 years or six. But even though I have that, of course, it's always a concern. And that concern is good, you know, because I don't know how to tomorrow the magic community react to my next invention, you know. So it's good because it makes me work harder, you know. I don't settle, I don't, okay, I created this and let me sleep all day. That does not happen with me. I'm constantly working. Of course, that worries me, you know, but I'm very organized in the production that I do. So it never happened in my last 5-6 years that I have my team working with me. It never happened. Okay, people, I don't know what we're going to do next because we don't have orders, we don't have anything to do. So I'm sorry. This never happened, you know, even one day in these last years. So I think working hard and having a lot of ideas and this type of drive and being very passionate is very important, you know. So that feeling that you told me that of being worried does not happen too much, even though I, because I have families, you know, I pay two people and they live with the money that I pay them at the end of the month. So of course it's something that I always have on my mind. So yeah, but I'm not worried per se, but it's something that I must have in my mind to be more organized, basically.
And that comes back to full circle where you mentioned at the moment, at the beginning, about being an entrepreneur. That's the thing about being an entrepreneur. You take risks, you know, you kind of push in directions that other people aren't prepared to push. And I can see that some, because the other thing is, like, if I invent a card trick and I invent this card trick and I pitch it to Murphy's, for example, and Murphy's sell it and it tanks and it bombs and no one buys it, it hasn't cost me much. You bring a trick out and it doesn't work, it's going to have cost you an astronomical amount of money because of the research and the development and the components that are involved in bringing one of your creations to market. If anybody's saying it's really expensive, you don't know what he goes through to get that to a final product. I mean, it's that just shows, you know, you've mentioned entrepreneurialism a couple of times here. It just shows that you really are a true entrepreneur, that you take those financial risks as well with every single product that you bring out.
Yes, and I must have that commitment, Greg. You know, otherwise things will not work. If I do not believe in my teamwork and in what we are doing, even my team does. If my team does not believe in me or in what we are doing, because we my belief is that we are creating history. You know, and next year I'm going to release, in my opinion, even better effects than anything I've done before now. So. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of hard work, basically, you know, to make all these. And but my team, it's very important. As I mentioned, and I said again, you must have that entrepreneurial spirit. It's for example, magicians sometimes, probably you spoke about that in one of your YouTube videos, I believe. But and Paul Daniels spoke about that. When magicians need to get shows, sometimes they wake up like after lunch, you know, and they work like 2 hours a day and they send some emails. You must do more than that. You must work 8 hours. This is, of course, my opinion, at least 8 hours. When you hear, for example, Elon Musk or those great minds, you know, they work like hell. They sleep 5 hours a day. And that's actually what I do. I even at night, I research, I read, I take notes to my next idea, to routines that I might have. And this is very important. It's if you want to have a reward, you must work really, really hard. Because money and success does not come out of the trees, you know? You don't go to a magic tree, oh, let's invent this and let's sell this. It's only through your hard work. And in my case, of course, my team, I must emphasize this. So yeah, every magician should work at least 8 hours every day. And it's not easy. I understand a lot of people give up. I totally understand that. But if you want to do something that you really love and that you are passionate about, you cannot give up. And sometimes that's not easy, but it's very important, you know.
Oh, I completely agree. And the one thing I'd add to that is not only work 8 hours a day, but work 8 hours a day on the right thing. You can't sit there spending 8 hours every day learning a double lift. You know, we're talking about the business side of things in show business, the show and there's business. And most
exactly people
that focus on the show and they don't think about the business. Yeah. I remember hearing a joke once. What's the difference between a magician and a savings bond? Eventually, a savings bond. What's the difference between a magician and a savings bond? And the answer is, okay, eventually, a savings bond will mature and make money. And it's true, you know, you have a lot of magicians that sit there wondering why the phone's not ringing, and it's because they're not going out there making it ring. So I completely 100% agree with you. Let me ask you one more question. I'm going to talk about future releases and what's coming up in a bit. But before I do, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Out of everything that you've created, what's your favorite creation? What's the thing that you, I'm not talking about anything that's coming in the future, just out of your body of work that we have up until this point. What's your favorite creation? So that if you stopped creating immediately now, you'd want that to be your legacy piece.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that it's the black part, you know? Yes, and probably the easel now, which is a little update with that we did in a notepad. I think those ones are really some of the best, I think. Yeah, I'll pick those two because it's chalk, you know, and in the case of the easel, it's ink. What is better than placing a notepad on an easel, having the predictions appearing there, revealing to the others, ripping the page and handing it out? You know, it's, if you could do real magic, that's exactly what you'll do. You'll place the pen. Of course, you could place the pen on the table, but I think the easel, it's beautifully designed. My team also did a great job on it. So, yeah, I will pick easel, probably.
Fair enough. That's great. Now, let's talk about, you only really bring out one or two tricks a year, probably because of the research and development time and the lead time and components and so on and so forth. And I know you're constantly working on other ideas. I don't want to know specifics at all because I know that probably everything is a closely guarded secret when it comes to you. But are we, we've just had intuition. Do we have a time frame for the next item or two? Are we going to see a couple of things in 2022? Do you not work there? Do you know what they are? And you've always traditionally bought something big out of Blackpool. You know, last time it was the metal phone, I believe. And also the item that a lot of people forget that you've created, but I actually use in my cabaret show, the one with the phone in the bag. And that's
yes.
Yeah, I love that. I can't remember the name of it because it's in my cabaret case. I do it all the time. But that from memory is what came out at, and that's a very strange item for you because there's no electronics in it. It's very different, but it's just as good. What do we have coming up in the future? Do you have time frames or anything? And
yes, we are creating something extraordinary, and we are going to release it probably in Blackpool. I know I'm hoping to release this by February. It's something that I think every single magician will want. I mean, I know this is a very bold statement. I'm not trying to be like thinking I'm the best or not. It's not that. It's something that I had an idea a little bit over 3 years ago. And to the point that we are now, I'm so, so happy with what me and my team are achieving with this precise product that I really believe magicians will love, you know. And it's probably one of the best creations from me as a creator. Yeah, so I'm really excited for my next release. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds incredible. That sounds incredible. Wow. Yeah. that's amazing.
Yes.
And is there, I don't want to push any more because I imagine with a product that you, the sort of thing that you bring out, it has to stay completely secret because there's such a lead time on it. You can't have anybody knowing about anything. I totally get that.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah. I'm not going to push it. Is there anything left on your magical bucket list that you haven't achieved that you want to do? Because you've achieved so much in magic. Have you decided to, I didn't know any of the stuff about you having your own TV show and being a busy performer and so on and so forth. So you've had that. I mean, you ask 99% of magicians in the world if they'd like their own TV show, they'd say, right, that's my goal. That's my pinnacle. That's it. You achieved that in your 20s and then moved on. And then you set up a production company, which is responsible. You know, no, not everything's for everybody. And some people will say, oh, I don't like that. I do. But generally, as a rule, most of your tricks, if not all of your creations, are really well received and are used by magicians all around the world. Your production company has very high standards, and there's always a buzz. You don't get that as much these days, but whenever one of your tricks is announced, whenever Murphy's or somebody else says, hey, we've got a new Miranda trick coming out, there's always a buzz. People talk about it on the cafe, pages of it before there's even a trailer. That shows me how much of an impact you're making on the magic community. Because if nobody cared, nobody would be talking about you and everybody's talking about you. So you've achieved so much on both aspects of the scale, both sides of the scale. You've achieved so much. Is there anything left on your magical bucket list that you want to achieve? Any goals? You know, I know you're an entrepreneur. You're probably very goal-driven. Are there any other goals that you want to achieve that you haven't yet achieved?
I'll be very honest with you. One of my main goals was to have an interview with David Copperfield, which I had. You can watch it on YouTube. It was like 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago. And it was David himself who invited me to do that, which was unbelievable for me. So to be honest with you, at this moment, I don't have like a goal, like I want to achieve this or that. I mean, I'm extremely happy. My main goal right now, if I had to name one, is to advance magic as an art form. Because I believe that not everything is created yet. And I want to leave a legacy of creations, of magic. And I've just roughed the surface, you know. I have a lot of new ideas that I didn't have the time yet to develop. So that's basically my goal. That's basically it. Yeah, that's it. I don't have anything else because I've done so much. I'm not old. I'm 35, you know.
Yeah, you're not old.
Yeah, but yeah, I just want to keep what I'm doing. I'm extremely happy, you know. If tomorrow I won like the lottery and I was a billionaire, you know, I will do exactly the same thing that I'm doing, 100%, and I know it. I will not go to the Bahamas and goodbye, people. You won't see me again. That will not change anything on me. You know, it's the truth. So it's how committed I am in creating new magic. Yeah.
Great. And you know what? One thing that comes across every time I've spoken to you, and especially in this interview, is how passionate you are, how much you believe in your own products, and also how passionate you are about magic. It's beautiful to see. It really is. I've met people that almost look like they're going through the motions and they're bringing tricks out. They don't really care about them. It's just they're stuck in a rut and they don't know what else to do. But you can tell that every single trick that you've brought out is a labor of love and a passion project and something you genuinely believe in. And it's great to see that. It really is.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the truth, right? I really, yeah. And after sales service is very important, you know, when someone has any problem with anything or they let the trick fall to the floor, or I mean, I answer everyone. I don't leave one single customer without answer. I want to make sure that that person that invested in my ideas and in my team wants to have a product working 100%. Does not matter if the dog bited the trick, you know. I will change it. That's why I have a lifetime warranty for all my products. If someone damages, I won't say to any customer of mine, oh, buy a new one. You know what I mean? I will probably sell it for my cost price. You know, that's how good business should be done. Otherwise, next time the customer will not buy from me again. You know, so yeah, I really care about investments of people on my magic.
You can tell. And you did an at the table lecture, didn't you, for Murphy's Magic? You did an at the table lecture, which I watched, and I was really impressed by that. I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought I've never seen you lecture. But you go to all the conventions. Like I see you at every convention, all the big conventions anyway, but you never lecture. Have you ever considered, would that be a goal of yours? You know, you have so much magical knowledge. You have such a wealth of experience. You have your performing experience, your experience as a creator. If you just did a lecture that didn't even have tricks and it was a lecture on entrepreneurialism or building a business as a magician or creativity or innovation, I would buy a ticket for that in a heartbeat. Is that something that you considered doing? Is that something that you would do, or would it take away from the core business of?
I mean, yes. The thing is, I was invited to Blackpool like 2 years ago. I did a huge lecture there, which I really loved, you know. And the only thing is that I'm super busy, you know. I mean, I work like hell. I need to place an action camera, like a GoPro in my camera, and you'll see me and my team going like crazy. I go to my generic and to there, and I go there, and I go there, and then, I mean, it's a very, very fast rhythm that we create these types of things. So it's hard for me to travel and I can leave my team working. I mean, they are exceptional at what I do, but I like to be there. And there's also there the two magicians that work full time with me. One is Bruno, which is a technician, and the other one is Miguel, which is a video editor, which is also is a wonderful magician. So, and I talk to them and we have ideas and we discuss. So it's hard for me to get, okay, I will stop 1 week and I'm going to lecture somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's not very easy. Perhaps sometimes in when I'm older, like in 20 years, because I had several invitations to lecture, that's right. But perhaps when I'm older, when I'm like 20 more years in the future, when I'm 50 or so, perhaps then I will eventually, but right now it's, we work like crazy and we actually refuse work. Honestly, I had so many magicians that would custom work from us, you know, and we cannot do it. I cannot stop the whole production and the things that we are doing to create one trick for one magician. It's like, I did that, but it was something very punctual. In this case, it was for Copperfield. And it took me a really long time. And I also did it because it was David Copperfield. I love David. I didn't want to disappoint him, you know. So that's basically it. I don't really have time because I also have a daughter now, which is Matilda, which has 2 years. And time is very short, you know.
I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. Before I wrap this interview up, because I know talking about Matilda, she's coming home soon. And I know that you're a family guy as well. And that's great to say I am as well. And I know you want to spend time with your daughter tonight. Two more questions. You've mentioned how Kaylin Morelli approached you and you worked with Kaylin and so on and so forth. If there's somebody watching this and they've got an amazing idea that they think would revolutionize magic, and they think that the best person to do this with is you, are you open for people submitting ideas to you? Is this something that you would be open for?
Yes, 100%, 100%. I'm very picky with the things that I sell and with the ideas. I mean, I'm very picky. Must be something that I really love and let's stop. Sometimes I can get a submission and grab that idea and work with that person on and come up and the final result will be very different, but the starting can be there. Yes, so they can email me like a video if they want to orders@joaomiranda.com and submit. I'll be more than happy to watch them. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Good to know. And anybody who wants to buy any of your products. Obviously, they're available through Murphy's, so they're available from all good magic dealers, but not all of them. Like some of the really higher priced items, like the Lynx Blackboard that we talked about earlier on, that's only available directly from you, isn't it? So, I believe, yeah. So, if somebody wants to, I'm going to put at the bottom of the screen your URL and where people can go to you.
It's myname.com. So it's joaomiranda.com/store. But you can go to joaomiranda.com and then you'll see a little bit of info about me. And there is the store. We ship worldwide by DHL. And that's it. Yeah.
Fantastic. And as a customer of yours, and you know, I've bought many things off you in the past. I have to say that one of the things, and I'll give you a shout out for this. One of the things that you do exceptionally well, and you've mentioned this earlier, but I want to bring it up again, is your customer service and your after sales, which is just incredible. You know, if somebody's got a problem, they can go to you, you'll fix it immediately. Your customer service is completely off the charts. So
Thank you.
I have to give you a shout out to that. I really do.
Yeah, it's very important, Greg. You know that to have a solid business, otherwise, customers will not buy anything from you again, you know? So, yeah. Yes, I have a huge commitment on every magician needs to have... If it has my name, it must be working 100%. Does not matter if it's now or free, if it's in 10 years from now. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah. But thank you for that.
It's so true. And you also have a kind of a secret Facebook group, don't you? Can we tell people about the Facebook group? Because yes, that's where the new ideas that you have are dropped kind of before anyone else, anywhere else on the internet. And
it's the only place. Yes, they can go search on Facebook for João Miranda Magic Secret Group. And I see the profile, if they are magician, if they have magician friends, then I me or my team, they accept the request.
Yeah. And there's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of open discussion in there about all your different products. And that's actually one thing that I find interesting that I'd like to just mention before we go, which is a lot of your trailers, you know, typically in magic, you hide the method. You put a trailer out of a guy walking through a bar looking cool, and then you see snippets of the trick, but you don't really see a full performance or any talk about how it works. Well, a lot of your trailers are all about the method. It's like, this is incredible. This is what this does. This is what this does, which is kind of unheard of in magic before. What made you kind of go down that route? And you're open with, you know, when you do the interviews on the Murphy stuff and you speak to Luke Dancer, you're very open about how things work. And when you're, you know, debating stuff on the cafe or in your group, you're very open about how the trick works, which is, like I say, very different to magic. I think it's really good. But what was your reasoning behind doing that?
Yeah, basically, I think that people, when if they want to go to a magic shop, you know, and if they want to search for a magic trick, they can find it online. Even though the method could not be deeper in some of the trailers, if the spectator plays the name of the trick and then go to some forum or something, if the spectator wants, they will find it. And in my opinion, people who search for all of those things are magicians or people who really love magic. I don't really believe that there is there might be a very, very small percentage of lay people that goes to search for the tricks online that the magician did, because I think people really like to be fooled. That's why I think this is for magicians. I mean, that's basically it, you know? Don't you agree? Or
I do agree. I've been a big advocate of I've been accused of having exposure in some of my videos on YouTube where I'm talking about a particular prop and I'm not revealing methods, but I'm talking about what it does. And my attitude is, if somebody's, you know, like researching into a trick or they're looking at a video about, you know, that they're probably not lay people. They're probably, and even if a lay person saw it, within a day or two, they're going to forget. You know, they're definitely not going to remember.
100%. Yeah, that's it. That's right. Yeah.
What your trailers do is they give the end consumer, the person who's buying it, an absolute
more information,
clear idea of what they're buying. Exactly, which I think is important when you're talking about a higher priced item. And because of the electronics, a lot of the things that you bring out are higher price. They have to be. And I think having the trailers like that, it allows people to make an educated decision. Is this for me? You see what it does. You see how it works. You kind of have everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I think. Yes, I think that lay people will not search on magic. On some do, but it's a very small percentage, you know. For example, if you perform a wedding, I mean, I don't think that people will see, oh, let's imagine the case of intuition, for example. You know, if the spectator, you can find the coin. The spectators will find ways to find the coin, they'll have a hard time unless they go to a magic shop where there are hundreds and hundreds of products and they email, oh, I saw a magician performing this effect. Do you sell it? I think it's how actually lay people will search for magic. They will not search for intuition because it's not the name of the product also. That helps as well. But, you know, that's it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Totally agree with you. Well, you know what? This has been an incredible interview. I knew it would be, and you haven't disappointed.
Thank you so much. No, I love thank you so much.
The stuff that you bring out, very few people within the magic community are doing anything like this. And, you know, I use a lot of your routines. I use a lot of effects that you've created in my show, as you know, and I will continue to do so. And I just want to, on behalf of all of your customers, I want to say thank you so much for putting the time and the effort and the dedication, and most importantly, the passion into every product that you do, because it really shines through every single time.
Thank you so much, Craig. Yes, and also congratulations for the work that you are doing, because you are reaching a lot of magicians and young people. So yeah, I think you are doing a great job as well. So thank you so much for inviting me. It was very nice to talk to you.
It was my honor, my friend. Guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave a comment down below. I'm sure it will be seen by the right people. So leave a comment down below and let us know what you thought of the interview. And also go check out all of the links that I put in the description to this video. Go check all the links, all the Instagram, Facebook, everything. Go check it all out and make sure you follow, subscribe and like. One more time, thank you so much for the interview. And
my pleasure, Craig.
You're amazing.
My pleasure.
You are amazing. Guys, I will see you again very, very soon. Thanks very much for watching. My name's Craig from Magic.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast. Magic. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel, Magic TV, which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.